Well, it was Comey week in America. James Comey, the FBI director who President Trump fired last year, did lots of media interviews this week about his new book, A Higher Loyalty. Did we really learn anything?
Last night, Comey's private memos about seven meetings he had with Donald Trump last year came out. Did they shed any light on the two men, their interactions, and the FBI's investigation into possible Trump campaign collusion with Russia? There was also other news, and let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable to talk about all of that. Jose Diaz-Balart is news anchor at Telemundo and NBC. Hello, Jose.
Hi, pleasure to be here.
And Domenico Montanaro, lead politics editor for NPR. Hi, Domenico.
Hey there.
So Comey's memos have been described as an intimate look into the early months of the Trump presidency. Domenico, you first. Any new insights from the memos?
A lot more detail, obviously, that came out here, including President Trump's views of his former NSA director, his former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, questioning his judgment and why Flynn, for example, did not return or tell the president about a phone call that he had with a foreign government and hadn't told the president until 6 days later. So there, even though President Trump was defending Flynn at the time and continues to defend Flynn now, possibly because of the fact that he really was the one who brought Flynn on board, there were questions that he had in private about this. Also, we learned again about how President Trump wanted to get that loyalty agreement from James Comey, and something made Comey uncomfortable.
I wonder if you can talk, Jose, about something else that we learned. The memos indicate that intelligence agencies had confirmed parts of the so-called Steele dossier, which, among other things, alleged a Trump meeting with prostitutes in Moscow. We learned that Donald Trump, according to Comey's memo anyway, claimed that he spoke with Vladimir Putin of Russia at some point, and supposedly that Putin bragged that Russia had, quote, some of the most beautiful hookers in the world. Such an unusual conversation, for one thing, for a president to be having with the FBI director, or for Putin to be having with Trump, if indeed it did happen. How are you reading that?
You know, it's fascinating because I don't recall in recent history this kind of detail ever being in the public sphere. Detail of a president's conversation with the acting FBI director. Details of you know, what the president thought of world leaders, including Egypt's leader at the time. How you know, he was upset and obviously naturally and logically upset over a report saying that he had been with prostitutes in Russia and that there was some other things going on there with them. But just the detail of private conversations between the president of the United States of America and the leader of the FBI, and then the phone calls that they're also in these memos, the initial phone calls that President Trump had with the leader of Australia and with Mexico that were leaked. It really does seem extraordinary. We're living in extraordinary times, and we're getting really to peel back at least one person's recollection of private conversations he had with the president of the United States of America, and they aren't pretty.
We also learned that Trump mused about jailing journalists who leaked to get them to cough up their sources. In an interview with Comey, CNN host Jake Tapper pressed Comey on his motivations for revealing sensitive information now, and his thoughts on Trump tweeting that he should be jailed for leaking. Let's take a listen.
When he calls for the jailing of private citizens in his tweets, don't shrug, but realize that's not okay. That's not normal.
It's interesting that you won't go as far to say as that that Hillary Clinton would be, the nation would be better off if Hillary were president, because you have called for the nation to respond to the challenge of Trump, in your view, by voting. Presumably by voting against what he represents. Is that not a fair interpretation?
I actually think of it, maybe it's the same thing, but I think of it in terms of voting for something else, which is the core values of this country, which are more important.
Domenico, as we wrap up Comey week, your thoughts on that and the week?
Well, look, I mean, you know, James Comey was certainly the biggest winner this week was his publisher, because he was able to get a lot of, you know, attention for this everywhere you turned, starting last Friday. So we're a week in to Comey mania, and you get more of it. You know, I don't know what it did to move the needle on any of Trump's supporters. I don't know that anything really could, but I think that he certainly was able to sort of he may have undermined his own credibility when it comes to trying to win more people over. But I think in 10, 15 years from now, we'll be looking back on the top line thing to say, wow, what an extraordinary moment. A Republican former FBI director came out and said the president of the United States, who was currently serving as president, was unfit to be in office.
Jose, yeah, and I was fascinated by his comment of when the president calls for jailing of people, don't shrug. Don't make it normal. And then reading his memo, he said that when the president, as Comey was walking out of the Oval Office, said to him about putting reporters in jail, they spend a couple of days in jail, make a new friend, and then they're ready to talk, said the president. And Comey's answer was, I laughed as I walked to the door.
Here's what Trump said about James Comey when he was asked about him at a news conference with the Japanese prime minister this week.
There was no collusion. And that's been so found, as you know, by the House Intelligence Committee. There's no collusion. There was no collusion with Russia other than by the Democrats, or as I call them, the obstructionists, because they truly are obstructionists.
Domenico, we've heard that before. What do you make of it, though?
Well, President Trump wants to have as much as he can get done almost unilaterally. And I think that the system of checks and balances has frustrated this president like it frustrates a lot of presidents. And he's particularly new to the system. He didn't even run a publicly held company. He ran a privately held company. So he was able to do whatever he wanted, however he wanted. So I think that the strictures and the restrictions that government put in place, he doesn't like them. And he wishes that things could run more smoothly. And that's just not how it works.
Couldn't agree with you more, Domenico. And then add to that that here is a neophyte in politics. A neophyte, has no concept of what it is to run a federal bureaucracy. And then add to that when he's having conversations with foreign leaders, they're leaked. I mean, it's really this is really an unusual time.
Moving on to other topics, Domenico, I'm curious. Do you think CIA Director Mike Pompeo has enough votes to become Secretary of State?
Well, it's going to be close. Pompeo certainly may have gotten a little bit of a boost, actually. I think conservatives are hoping with his trip to North Korea that was unveiled this week, because some of the criticism about Pompeo has been that he is not somebody who's very diplomatic. And here he is leading, apparently, or as the point man on North Korea, having met with Kim Jong-un now. The question that I think we all have to have substantively is talks are never a bad thing. It's what do you get in return for those talks? And the president sort of alluded to the idea that if the U.S. isn't getting anything in return, then he would walk away from it. But the U.S. has already promised very high-level talks. They already delivered a very high-level person. They didn't get people who are jailed in North Korea out of there. And we don't know that really Kim Jong-un is looking to denuclearize. So what does the United States get out of this?
And Jose, your thoughts on that secret diplomacy by spy masters?
I was just blown away by the fact that the acting director of the CIA actually went and met with Kim Jong-un. I mean, just think about that for a moment. The head of the CIA meeting with Kim Jong-un, who may be the next Secretary of State. Look, these are so preliminary. These are so secret. These are so there haven't been a lot of leaks about that coming out. But any time that you have a meeting with a dictatorship that is at war, essentially, with its neighbor and needs Americans there on the front lines to protect war from coming out and being a hot war. These are very delicate conversations. I think that, Domenico, I agree with you that his going over to North Korea probably will help him in the confirmation process.
There is also, of course, this week, talk about Syria. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham is one of Trump's sharpest critics on Syria strategy. He said that he's more worried than ever. This was after a briefing with U.S. military officials. I want to ask you, Jose, though, about Cuba. There was very little reaction from the Trump administration on news out of Cuba this week that the president, Raul Castro, is stepping down the end of his tenure and a new president has come in. Is this a new chapter, do you think, for the U.S. and for Cuba?
That's a great question. Look, I think of this new quote-unquote president, Díaz-Canel, as of kind of Kim Jong-nam with a guayabera. Kim Jong-nam is the chairman of the Presidium of the Supreme People's Assembly in North Korea. He's the guy that accompanied the sister of Kim Jong-un to the Olympics. Remember that?
Yeah.
And there's a, and he's the president. And I don't think there's any doubt that that president, Kim Jong-nam, really doesn't have a lot to do in that dictatorship other than accompany the sister in meetings. Well, that's Díaz-Canel. I mean, it's a joke to think that a dictatorship that has been in power for 60 years, two brothers have had it. They name presidents. Remember that Fidel Castro named presidents as early as January of 1959 when he took power. Mm. He put a guy in for one day, didn't like him, put another guy in that lasted another day, put another guy in that lasted a couple of months, and then put another guy in that lasted 17 years until Fidel Castro said, you know what, my turn to be president. That's what's going on.
We got to leave it there. Jose Diaz-Balart is a news anchor at Telemundo and NBC, and Domenico Montanaro is lead politics editor at NPR News. Thank you both.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks so much.